The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. We're into February and spring has sprung, so I hope you're all in a good mood this morning. I know I am, because I'm looking forward to a very packed program for you this morning. Later on we will have our new series, An Artist's Kingdom. Well, it's kind of coming to the end of the episodes now, but we're going to be focusing on Holger Lanza, who is a famous Kerry sculptor, German native based in Kerry, and you would recognise his wonderful Amargan piece, work of art. It's a few metres high out in Waterville. It's there in the main promenade. So we're going to be finding out all about him in an episode of An Artist's Kingdom. And we're also going to be finding out about a community initiative that's going to involve people of the community, but it's involving dance, different kind of dance, and they're looking for you to participate in it. So I'll let you know about that as well a little later on. But first, it is the first Saturday of the month. It's weird to say the first Saturday of the month when it's the 7th of February, but that's the way it's falling. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dominic Walsh for our monthly In Focus Photography slot with Dominic Walsh. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. And good morning, Joe. On that, it is a long time. We're a week into the month already, and we're kind of saying, you know, like, even I was thinking last week, oh, am I on? Or am I sure? Should we start getting stuff ready together? It was a long time since the last one like that, you know. And of course, since the last time now, like, we're up until nearly 5:30 now, Joe, when it's a bit bright like that. That evening light is a great stretch indeed, and it's absolutely fantastic. Still a bit cold, still a bit wet, but it's nice.
There's a grand stretch in the evenings, and it's even there in the mornings now as well, which is brilliant. And I like this time of year now, when you do start to see that. I'm not a big fan of January, because it kind of drags on after Christmas. But now we're kind of into, we have the back broken on the start of the year, so we're into the spring, so it's good. So Dominic, as always, we look at photos that you've taken over the month, and I was wondering why you sent me a rose of Tralee photo in the January, start of February, when that, to me, is always the kind of end of the summer in Kerry. It's a wonderful photo, I should add.
Well, what we do is, in the festival, we get ready to start to the year. And, you know, like, people think that the festival is just a festival week, but I'm actually working throughout the whole year, and we're trying to get stuff together like that, you know. And we have our Rose now. She's on Dance with the Stars, doing fantastic. So we're getting ready now to do our search for the Rose, to do our search for the escorts. So we pick out a spot. We went off up to Dublin. If anybody's looking at this, look at it on Facebook there, or on your websites there, to have a look on Radio Kerry. You can see it. I've got a group of people, and instead of taking the formal picture, which you usually do like that, you know, I got them into the jizz, and I got them to do a jump into the air like that, you know. And we went to this location off Grafton Street. I think it's St. Anne's Street, I think is the name of it. But there's brollies going across the top of the street. And so we gave our Rose brolly, and we had him there and jumping around. And it's just an unusual angle. Now, it was shot with studio light. I did bring studio lights with me on that. And I have to admit, Joe, I'm not perfect in what I do. I made a mistake on the day. I never brought one of my stands for my studio lights. So I have to compliment Steve Cronley for walking around me that morning, holding his studio light in under his arm for the light, the way I had to light it up. But, you know, they can see it, and it works. The things, the ladies too, our Dublin Rose and our Wexford lady, they wore red. I gave the gentleman flowers, roses to hold on that. And if anybody wants to see the settings, it's a slow enough shutter speed for a jumping shot on that. Because, like, think of it, 500th of a second will stop the blades of a helicopter. So,
whoa.
Anything below, yeah, 500 of a second will stop the blades of a helicopter. If you take a picture of 500 of a second, stop the blades of a helicopter like this. So I brought this kind of down, because the street was quite dark and dusky. So I said I'd bring it down, and I shot this 200 of a second on that on a 24-70 lens and a 3.2, f3.2. That is the aperture. That's the iris. If you look at somebody's eye and you can see their eyes closing down, if it's bright, and if it's dark and you switch the light on, you can see the eyes are wide open. So that's kind of what the aperture settings there on that, you know. And my ISO was low enough at 500 on that. So it's just a nice, bubbly jumping shot.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the umbrellas. There's umbrellas kind of along the street that are kind of a permanent fixture. They're like an art installation. They're lining the street all the way along overhead. So was that place chosen for you, or did you have to do a bit of recce and see where you were going to take it?
We actually spoke about this before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we were actually planning our what we would do. Like, we actually did two shoots. We did one shoot in this street, and then we went down to Jenny's Dance Johnson and did another shoot, which will be released for a later date then as well, like that, you know. Because what I do is I try and get as much variations as I can while I'm up there. So normally from one shoot, I try and get an extra shoot out of it that I can use at a later date. So we did plan it. I was on the internet looking around for locations in Dublin. And all I did really was just Google best photo location shots in Dublin, and you get all these locations come up like that, you know, on that. This is on a street, and it was early in the morning we were there, and the gentleman in the restaurant alongside was the licensee there. He let everybody go in and get themselves sorted, because you wouldn't believe it. It was actually a torrentially wet and cold and miserable day.
Well, there was no shortage of umbrellas anyway, Dominic.
There was no shortage of umbrellas. And we were going out between the showers. You can actually see, if you look at this picture and you look at the ground, you can see the water flowing from one side of the road to the other and flowing along the side where the double yellow lines. The water was actually flowing down there, and we were in and out. Because when it rains, actually, you probably hear me saying this, Joe, when it's rainy, you shouldn't probably use flash, because the flash will actually highlight the droplets and they'll come up. You'll see them. You really see them. You know, like you'd see some people and they would backlight. In other words, if I put a light behind them when it was raining and shot towards me, it'd all the raindrops would actually illuminate up. It's quite nice in some ways like that, you know. But this is, we were just going between the showers and to get our shots going.
Excellent. Now, your next collection of photos, your collage of photos, is the President of Ireland, Catherine Connolly, the new President. She was in Recovery Haven, and I know she was in Kerry. She visited a few places. She was at the Action of Breedoga as well. And I was just striking me there, Dominic. I was wondering how many presidents have you taken photos of? I'd say nearly back to Douglas De Heder, Douglas Hyde's time. Right? You're old enough to have been around then, were you?
Joe, I mean, like people say to me, when I told people that Joe McGill actually had a beautiful baby by Cullen, like that, you know, and that they were saying to me, isn't he very old? So now you're trying to throw that. I knew you'd try and get me back at some stage to throw it back to me. I can go back as far as Mary Robinson.
Oh, sure, I can go back there myself, yeah.
So I go back to, that's my start of photo. Mary Robinson, I was photographing Mary McAleese and obviously President Higgins like that. And I met our President Connolly last Saturday up in Recovery Haven, and she came in. And you know something? It was my first time meeting her. What an absolute lady she is.
Yeah.
She's a pleasure to be around. But she was absolutely fantastic. Because what we do, just to tell you how we do the shoots when the President comes like that, you know, the organisers of the event would send in a list of preferred photographs. It's normally per shoot, you'd probably shoot about maybe five actual setups. If she's there with you for probably an hour and a half, you would be allowed to set up five shots that you'd set up. And a lot of the shots then I would take would be ad lib from a distance. And I tend to try not to use flash, so I'm not in the way and I'm not interrupting the proceedings the way they go like that, you know. On that, but as you can see, I was from the pictures there. There's a couple of pictures I brought into Adele Lawler there into the play therapy room, and this is a room actually where they bring young kids that would have cancer, terminal illness, like that, or coping with their parents having cancer. They would bring them in there and do play therapy with them, on that. And Catherine went in, our president went in, and she loved it. She loved it. And because you can see her laughing there, Yeah. And Adele had a little puppet in her hand. And the president was to come at 12 o'clock. She was to come like that, you know. She came about 5 past 12 or just a couple of minutes past 12. And she went in to meet the puppet, and the puppet said to her, "President, you're late. You should be on time." So she got an absolutely great kick out of it. And that was one of the shots. There was only three of us in that room, the two people that you see in the picture, and I was taking the picture. I spent about 4 minutes inside there, got my pictures, and I left the room then as well on that, because I was walking around ahead of her. You see a very big group shot there of everybody that was there on the day, came in for a group photograph. And how this photograph was organised, if you're organising something at home, Joe, in your own house, or you at home are getting a group of people in and you're bringing, let's say, an elderly person or something like that, what I find it's much easier to do and save so much time is to get everybody else to go into position and get them all sorted out, tell them where they're going to stand and get them all set. Right, look, when we're taking the picture, that's where you're all going to go. Then when you go to take the picture, they all come in, they know where to stand, they know where to sit. And so the president, all she had to do is come along, take her seat. The picture was taken and she came up, then stood up and went off and planted a tree. So it's just thinking ahead of yourself all the time and managing the photographs as you go and thinking about how long, if I do it this way, how long it might take to take a picture, or if I do it another way. So it was all organised. And of course, I met with everybody. We spoke about it. We did the walkthrough. I knew every place she was going. I knew where she was going to stand, where she was going to sit. I went and checked all that out beforehand on that. And she sat down, she was talking to people with cancer, and you know something, she made them feel at ease. It was unbelievable. So I have to say, it was a very pleasurable event to go and cover.
Hmm. Is there a lot of security at an event like that now?
There would be, yes, yeah. I think there's probably a lot of security that we don't know about.
Yeah, but I'd say it's a lot more relaxed than you'd see in other countries, though, I'd imagine.
It is a lot more relaxed. It is a lot more relaxed, all right. Now, they would have had, somebody would have come down from her office earlier in the week to visit the place and gone around. And obviously, they would have to give the names of all the people that are attending the event.
Okay, yeah.
Would have to be handed in as well. Mm. My information had to be given as a photographer, as a press photographer and PR photographer. That information was handed in as well on that. Mm. So, you know, on that. So, like, it is, what happened was a Garda car arrived about half an hour, three quarters an hour before the president arrived and took up position outside of Recovery Haven and that parked up there. And then about 20 minutes before the president arrived, another group of guards and cars arrived and they were ready and they were positioned out on the road and things like that. So when she came, she just drove her car off in and parked the car and she came out and she came in. And, you know, like, her security, fantastic. They're lovely people and they're very amenable, because I would be used to dealing with President Higgins, obviously, you know, and he would have been, his group, when you went in, it was probably a little bit more formal on that. When he arrived in, because bearing in mind he probably wouldn't be able to stand as long or he probably wouldn't be able to move as fast around. So they tended to suit his ability. Mm. Whereas when our president came in last Saturday, he just got out of the car and came over to me straight away and introduced himself. It was a bit of a shock, actually, because I'm always the hired help. I'm in the background. I'm at a distance and I don't tend to get involved. And it actually meant a lot that she actually came over to acknowledge me.
Personal touch. We'll move on to your other photo, Dominic, and this is of Minister Norma Foley. 4-year-old Avril Lynch from Dingle plays Connect Four with Minister Norma Foley with the help from other kids. Minister Foley announces 10 new family resource centres, and she made the announcement in Dingle, Ardna Grena, Dangany Hoosh, and the Minister of Children, Disability and Equality, Norma Foley, has today announced the establishment of 10 new family resource centres, including a family resource centre to serve the people of West Kerry for the first time. And again, as always, Dominic, you're thinking outside the box. You're not just getting kind of a cut the ribbon photo, you're getting the minister interacting with children, playing that famous game Connect Four, which we used to love at Christmas time. You'd play it a lot.
Actually, yeah, I went in again like everything else, and I did. We call them suit pictures. You're taking pictures of the suits. We call them suits.
Okay.
So they would be the official pictures that you would take. And I did take these pictures with Minister Foley. And we had the people outside. They're now a family resource centre out there in Dingle. So it was a big event. And people actually were very excited about it. this announcement. So our minister arrived, and I spoke to our minister, and I said, look, I said, we'll take these shots. I said, there's some young people inside here. I said, do you mind if I set up something completely different and just maybe work with? And like, and Minister Foley, she's an absolute lady to work with. She's so obliging. She said, Dominic, whatever you want, just steer me in the direction. I says, I will, leave it off to me. So I went. We had to do it, obviously. Had to make sure we had permissions for all these young people to be in pictures on that. We had to tell them why they were going to be in the pictures, their carers and things, whoever was in charge and like that. And they did it all organised. There was no problem. They came in. But as you see, it comes out as a completely different event from the actual event itself. But it tells a real story. It's a family resource centre, and young people of all these centres and adolescents are key to it. So that's how I came up. And I could have gone with the laptops or the iPads or anything like that, you know. But then if you see young people on phones all the time, you see them on laptops all the time, and they tend to be quite distant. But when I put up the Connect 4, the young people couldn't wait to get involved. Mm. To start putting them in and clicking them in, and they were pulling them out, they were falling out at the bottom like that, you know. And they're all so intent. You know, even the minister now is going, she was yellow on the day, she's popping in her Connect 4s as well. And it just shows that if you go back to basics and organise a picture and bring in a toys that we all had for years, and like, I mean, I don't think there's very few houses that don't have a Connect 4 or didn't have a Connect 4 in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That it must be one of the most popular games.
Yeah, it's a great leveller, and it's kind of a great way for a kind of something in common between the people involved. So it's brilliant. Dominic, stay with us because we have to go to your photos at home. And the theme was no looking back, looking forward. So we're going to be looking at those photos after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Now, you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. It is the first Saturday of the month. Dominic Walsh is with us for a monthly In Focus photography slot. And now we're looking at your photos that you sent in to us. And the theme was no looking back or don't look back, and in brackets, looking forward. And as always, like Dominic mentioned earlier, these photos are in the In Focus podcast section of RadioKerry.ie on the website. So you can go over there and look at them. And there's a link on the Facebook page as well, Radio Kerry's Facebook page. And as always, we're starting with Moss Joe Brown, local man Stevie Hayes, climbing a steep hill as he leaves to his back the picturesque view of the Cashin village and the townland of Ballyduff, with the once famous salmon fishing river as it flows towards the Shannon estuary, while further on can be seen the townland of Ballybunion with its hilly countryside. Yours, Moss Joe Brown. And that is a good way of capturing our theme, Dominic. And that's a real kind of picturesque holiday kind of destination. It's just a beautiful photo, isn't it? And I imagine there'd be a lot of nostalgia for people that would holiday there as well.
There is, like when people look at these pictures, they don't just see a picture of a man walking. Like, they tend to look beyond it, look back, you see the Cashin, you see the sandbars in the Cashin. Like, some people say, oh, I've got caught in those sandbars, or like that, or my boat, or my prop, or anything's got stuck there. You're looking past that. You can see the hills, as you say. No mountains up there, all hills up there like that. You know, it's quite hilly and that. And you can see the farmland there. Great picture. Lovely, sunny, bright picture. And you can see the hedgerows there, and I think that they're a uniqueness of Ireland, seeing those hedgerows, see the flowers on them and the trees and the brambles and everything like that. It's absolutely lovely to see it.
Excellent. To whom it may concern, very official, Dominic, we're getting the official letters as well. I'm sending you my photos by attached file for the competition. And picture number one was taken September 2025 in Listowel Town Park. The second was taken in the woods at the top of the town park in the woods. I used a composition technique called leading lines for the photo. And Dominic, I'm going to have to ask you about that. The photo was taken in October. And the last picture was taken in the near the River Feel. I wanted to add the trees into line up with the bridge, and I thought it would give the photo a nice look. The composition used would fill the frame. This photo was taken in early November, as I had to do a photo story for my digital photography course in Listowel College. I'm not long at photography, but love doing it and learning every day. I'm from Astee East Listowel, and that comes in from Eamon Lacey. Thanks, Eamon. It's nice to see a new person sending in photos. And what did he mean by the lines there? And these are great photos, by the way, Eamon.
They're great photos. When you look through, now, in my camera, when I look through, I've got grid lines actually permanently there.
Okay.
So They're like looking through spiders' webs, if you can just take like that. This is how my interpretation of it like that. So I use my lines, leading lines to work, and I use them to level pictures or to get my horizons or anything like that. I always lose like that. People that look into my camera and say, my God, what are all these grids and these lines inside it? But they work for me. A lot of audio-visual cameras as well, they would use them as well. So like, you know, Eamon, excellent. Keep up the good work, because your work is quite impressive, and it's great getting to use the light, because you're a person that's in control of the light, that the light is not controlling you. And that is very important when you get into photography, if you're ever starting up in photography. I like it. I like the fact there's the path is going along and it turns over to the left and you've got the trees there. But that unique one of you're actually shooting on the path, I think I know this is up in Listowel there. It's a lovely side of Town Park. It's a lovely walk up there like that. And to see the leaves down and looking through it, it's great. You can see the lines, the straight lines in it. Lovely set of images, absolutely lovely. The bridge, I photographed the bridge. I photographed the bridge by day, by night, in flood, not in flood, almost dry on that. That's the Listowel Bridge. It's absolutely a great place. And I can see the lines there on that. Probably what I would have done there on that is, if you put on a longer lens and go quite back a distance, it would nearly bring the bridge around towards you. When you've got a shorter lens on and you're closer to the bridge, it's the angles, it's quite difficult to get the angle right on that. But still, it's an amazing picture, and you can tell there's a lot of water in it. Lovely set of images.
No, Dominic, you were being stalked at some job you were at, because the next photo, Dominic was on duty last Wednesday at Austin Stack Park, Tralee, for the Munster School Senior Football Quarterfinal. Tralee CBS, The Green, and St. Brendan's College, Killarney. He was well prepared for the heavy rain that fell during the match, with his lens looking forward. Mind you, it's worth turning around with the lens sometimes. It was while I was looking back that I took this photo of Dominic. And side note, the semi-final, Tralee CBS versus St. Francis College, Rochestown, is fixed for this Saturday, and that would have already taken place. The Green are looking forward, not back, or I, Glenn. And it comes in from Adrian McLaughlin in Tralee. And Dominic, it's a photo of yourself in action. And did you know your photo was being taken?
I didn't. She didn't ask me for permission either, Joe. In all fairness, like, you know, great. You've got Joe Wallace there in the background there as well. Yes, you can see me in action and working away. When I seen this picture yesterday, I was saying, oh my God. And then I get embarrassed, you know. And
yeah, but yes, isn't it great to get a photo? Because like I said to you before, that you wouldn't have many photos of yourself in action at all, because you're always behind the lens, you know.
No, never at all like that. And I'm that's me completely kitted out for the rain. What I've got is I've boots on, waterproof boots on, walking boots. I've got leggings on. I've got a jacket on. I've got a neckerchief on me like that. You can see my two hands are underneath the camera. So my hands are dry when I'm going at the switches. When I go into this position that I'm in now, I tend to stay in that position for the duration of the game on that. The thing about it is that I'm a bit high there. I normally like to be a little bit lower. So I'm either getting ready to go onto the pitch, or it might be just a break time.
That's what I was thinking. You're standing upright. Yeah, I thought you might be more crouched down.
Yeah, I would usually get down lower to go on like that, you know. But as you can see, there's a name for that type of rain. And like we in photographers would call that. That's called dry rain, we call it on that. And the reason we call that dry rain is because the rain is coming straight down. There's no wind, there's no nothing. So if you put an umbrella over yourself or put on your kit over there, you won't get wet. We call wet rain on a windy day when that rain gets in every place. And no matter what you can't protect yourself on that.
Yeah.
I've been in Crow Park many days sitting in the rain like that, you know, and you get up and the rain just washes down from inside your pants, down your legs like that.
Yeah.
It gets so wet.
But is it a scald, you know, technically, and the equipment and worrying about like drops of rain on the lens and things like that?
It is. That's why, even if you see my camera there, when my camera's not being used, it's leaning forward.
Yeah, okay.
So my lens is never faced up to the rain and stuff like that. But that's, like, as I say, it was raining extremely torrentially heavy that day. I don't know how Adrian went out. I see her sitting outside in the pitch there, and she was sitting down there going through the game. Great photographer, actually, do you know?
Yeah, and a lovely funny photo too of the dog. And the dog is dressed up in the CBS The Green colours, and with balloons and various paraphernalia and everything. And
I would
supporting.
Think that's a therapy dog now, isn't it? Great to see them in schools and things like that. It's lovely to see it, and the colours and the dog then as well like that. And, you know, look at a lovely coat on them.
Yeah, It's a lovely picture. Right, Dominic, we have to go to a break and we'll be looking more at your photos after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy, modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot and we're looking at your photos. And if you want to see these photos, they're on the Radio Kerry website. Go into the podcast section under In Focus with Dominic Walsh and you'll see them all there, and you'll see this wonderful photo by Agnes O'Sullivan. Good evening, Joe and Dominic. I took this picture in my garden on January 2nd at 1957, very precise, as I gazed up at the January wolf moon, so bright and beautiful. I thought to myself, God is good and nature provides for man and beast. Best wishes to you both, Agnes O'Sullivan. And Agnes, Agnes is kind of getting better with every month that passes, Dominic. This is a beautiful photo, and especially a difficult thing to do, to take a photo of the moon.
It is, yes. It's a lovely moon, you know. And you'd be surprised the light when you look up that night. You probably didn't see the sky as it was. But the one thing about using mobile phones and cameras, they tend to capture a lot more detail than the actual eye can catch. You know, like if you're photographing the Northern Lights, you mightn't see them. But if you take a picture on your phone or your camera, you say, wow, they're amazing like that. It's great. And the fact that the tree in the garden is lit up, it really stands out absolutely. And you can see the lovely blue skies. Great picture. It's one to keep. One should be put up on the wall.
Hi, Joe and Dominic. A belated Happy New Year to you both. Happy New Year to you too. Here are my three entries for this month for the theme No Looking Back. I decided to look forward to the new year and try something different with my photography as follows. Number one, a long exposure shot taken at the waterfall below Peddler's Lake at Connor Pass Dingle with a snow-capped Brandon mountain range in the distance. The second one, the head of Unfair Morrov in stormy seas at Clogher Beach west of Dingle. The third one, a grey squirrel at Griffith Park, Drumcondra, Dublin. Wildlife photography is something I rarely do, so I am happy with this one as a start to 2026. All photos were taken during the month of January 2026. Kind regards, Noel O'Neill. And Noel, these are a wonderful selection of photos. That waterfall is stunning, and the way it's captured on Unfair Morrov is absolutely spectacular. And then the squirrels, something I've rarely seen, but I used to see them in Dublin. All right, the squirrels.
I haven't seen squirrel. I can't remember the last time I saw a squirrel. That's a grey squirrel. I think the red squirrel is our native squirrel, isn't it? As far as I'm aware on that, do you know on that? Yes, I think so. But people will check us. This is back to the bug or the ladybug or ladybird thing again. Is it like that? You know. But it's a lovely picture. He's almost like he's there waiting for his little food, washing his food, like his little paws or that. You know, and that picture of the sea and the waves crashing in is absolutely an amazing picture. It is absolutely brilliant. It's great. A picture like that and the movement, that's so the vitality and like the expressions out of the water coming back up, like that's taken at a fast shutter speed, that, because you can see it freezes frames everything. But if you go back to the one at Peddler's Lake, that's slow shutter speed. What that means is put your camera on a tripod, settle it down, and then slow your speed right down, get your aperture right, close the aperture down nice and close. So it could be, let's say, from an f5 to f16, or even you could go to 22 and slow it right down, bring the ISO down. And what it does is you can see the clouds moving in the sky. They're almost blurred. You can see the water coming down of the waterfall and it's blur. And the splashes, when it hits the rocks and the stones, it creates a bit of a glow in it. Great set of pictures.
Hi, Joe and Dominic. Love your show. Please find attached my three photos. The first one, Loch Gill, Castle Gregory in beautiful winter light. The second one, Strabbally Beach on a sunny wintry day. And the third one, an interesting capture from an evening flight to Kerry Airport. Regards, Sheila Quirk, Castle Gregory. And Sheila's very good at, you know, those rules of three, I think, Dominic, you were telling me about. Her photos seem to be very, they seem to be very symmetrical. And that flight, I always love to look out over the clouds when you're on a flight and there's a beautiful red sky in the distance. Tis like, we mentioned it before, almost like Highway to Heaven.
It is actually lovely, starting with the one out the plane. I was wondering where she got that, actually, because I was looking, I said, that's very high now to be shooting there. Yeah. Where did she shoot it? Out of plane. Well, you know, you can't beat that one. It's lovely. Absolutely lovely sky. It's amazing what you can get out of shooting out of a plane, looking out there on that. You know, the beach, absolutely great. That's a real wintry, cold picture with the winter colours and everything on it. Like, you see the beach and the waves crashing in, and you can see the waves crashing and the mist kind of comes up from the waves as well. Absolutely brilliant picture, all right. Loch Gill, beautiful place out there. It's absolutely lovely. If you want to go out and photograph some, now there's no birds in this picture actually on that, but it's a great place if you want to get wildlife or anything like that. It's absolutely lovely. Go out, sit yourself down and put on a lens like that, and it's amazing what happens out there. And it's amazing the sounds you hear from the birds on that and the different animals, and you hear it, and you can hear the cars in the distance. Sheila, they're a lovely, lovely set of pictures. I really like them.
Hi, Joe and Dominic. Photos attached from a day out in Dingle last Saturday. The first one, a view from outside camp looking through the Carmer. The second one, power of the waves back in Clare Strand in Dingle. Water going over the rock and pouring down to the sea. And the third one, sheep at Clare Strand striking a pose. Regards, Siobhan O'Connor. I love that first photo. And I remember a few years ago, it was nearly during COVID, or maybe just after, Siobhan sent us a photo. I think it was of Ladies View or somewhere like that, or The Gap. And it's of, you can see the scene, the landscape view in the wing mirror of the car, and then you can also see the looking the other way then out the car window. I thought it was a very clever shot and it captures the theme perfectly, and I actually took a photo like that because I was inspired by Siobhan. So Siobhan does think outside the box, doesn't she? And all three of these are unique in their own way, Dominic.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I really think the one looking forward, looking backwards, and what, like, it's a simple one to do. If you're in your car, roll down your window, park up safely like that, look at the mirror, bring your camera close to the mirror, fill the frame with the mirror, but don't get too much out of that. And what I'm trying to say is leave the mirror in. You can see the outsides of the mirror as well, the actual mirror holder. And you can show, because it'll give it, if you went in too close in, you're only looking into an actual scene.
Yes.
So it shows it, and you're looking, even though you're looking up, you're actually looking back. It's a great, lovely picture on that. And as for the waves crashing, we have another waves crashing picture like that. It's great. But see the water going up into the rocks, and it falls down, and it really comes out. And again, that mist and the haze coming up off the waves crashing out there. It's lovely to see it. And it's amazing how green the water is actually at this time of the year when you can see it like that. And I thought that was the sheep. I thought he was an old Joe McGill pose there like that, you know, looking out there and looking well, and you know, the hair done and everything like that. Great pose on that, like that, you know.
Tis the first time I've ever been compared to a sheep. Tis more your colouring though, Dominic. we're talking about the unusual, you know, using the wing mirror and its perspectives. Yeah, like you see good photos taken. Someone might be taking a photo of something on the mobile phone, and then someone else is taking a photo of what they're taking through their phone, if you know what I mean. Or you often see it with like cameras as well, the viewfinder, and taking a photo of that. It's kind of a unique kind of perspective, and it's again thinking outside the box, which you love, Dominic.
And another way of thinking outside the box is when you're taking a picture either with your mobile phone or with your camera, bring a mirror with you, maybe about maybe a 4 inches by maybe 2 or 3 inches like that, you know. And what you do is you hold the mirror up to the base of the lens, and you actually mirror the image, and you're shooting out, and the mirror will give you the image. It works great on landscapes or somebody jumping now or giving things that action. So it's something to try like that. A mirroring, that's something I might try now the next time I'm doing it. So, you know, we learn something new every day.
Excellent. Hi, Joan. Oh, looking back here. Feeding time again. Keep up the good work. Joan Trant, Corraheen. And there you can see the feeding barrier. All the animals have their heads out. They all know their own individual spot, and they're eating the silage there. Looks like a beautiful day, and they're eating away to their heart's content. Not looking backwards. Definitely looking forwards for their grub.
There would be a sign that I was out on a farm back in West Kerry, Ballyferrett, there now last week as well. And I was doing some pictures there for the farming indoor and that. And it's great to go into a farm like that and to see them. And the animals, they're as curious, because you'd think, oh, I'm going here now. How am I going to get them out for a picture? As soon as you stand there and you let off a flash, they're out straight away to find out what's going on. They're quite nosy animals, actually. They love to know what's going on, love to see what's going on like that. And, of course, they'll be out shortly, you know, won't they be on the...
They'll be
on the land grazing very short.
Well, hopefully if things dry out, places are so wet. That's the that's the worry at the moment. Yeah, so hopefully the spring now will dry things out. February will be a lot drier. It just strikes me, Dominic, geez, every day is different by you, isn't it? You know, you're at sporting games, you're out on a farm, you're taking photos of the president. It's a wonderful life that way, isn't it?
I've a wonderful job. I love it. I love it. The hours are long. I tend to not be able to plan events because something might happen, or I might get a call to go, and many nights we go for a meal and I say, sorry, something has come in or anything like that. But I absolutely love my job. I have a brilliant job, and I love talking to people, and I love when people ask me questions. We're probably not getting a lot of questions in from our listeners as much as we should, So if you've got questions out there, send them in. If I can't answer them on the day, I will get an answer for you. We've great photographers around Kerry, and there's loads of people to help us get advice if you have anything that you might like to ask. No matter what, like, the worst question you can ask is the one that you don't ask at all. So always ask the question.
Very good. Now, Dominic, your humour photo of the month?
It has to be the dog. With the dog with the balloons and all.
CBS
The
Green.
Great picture.
Yeah.
I like that.
And that was Adrian, wasn't it, that took that?
It was, yes.
Adrian McLaughlin in Tralee, yeah. Good. Wonderful great, photo. Yes. Well done, Adrian. And your photo of the month?
It has to go to Siobhan, because Siobhan actually got the brief 100%. Looking forwards and looking backwards, you even said it yourself. And it's a great picture. And it's a picture you have to look twice at. And I always think the pictures you have to look twice at, it really makes them interesting. Because I'm always trying to do that when I'm getting into pictures, into picture editors. I want them to stop and look at the picture as opposed to flying through them.
Yeah, that's Siobhan O'Connor. And her, from her view outside camp, looking through the car mirror. Wonderful photo. Dominic, what is the theme for next month?
Well, spring is in the air, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, spring into life or spring out or get out or anything like that, you know, make use of it, like, you know, like get people pictures of them jumping or running or riding bikes or you name it, anything like, just something interesting. Get out there. Spring is in the air. Like, now we're probably a little bit early for the plants to grow and things like that, I'd say, at this stage, but they're starting to come on. You can see it on that. So just get up.
So we'll keep it tight now, because lots of people get on to me then wondering what the theme is. You won't have to deal with all the emails now. Spring into life. That's what it is.
Yes, Joe. Spring into life. Now, listeners, that's my scolding from Joe. He reckons I talk too much.
I never say you talk too much, Dominic. Never. So it is spring into life. That's what it is. That's the theme. So like Dominic said, it's quite broad and, like, you know, it's great. So you can have an energetic one. That's a good idea, Dominic, actually, isn't it? Kind of an energetic slant on it.
It is, yeah, it is. It can be anything. But look, like sports events, like we're the best in the world for doing sports events like that, you know. And sports events are good, because when you go into, let's say, a GAA game or anything like that, it's taken as you can take pictures and you don't need a lot of permissions or anything like that, you know. Whereas if you're going out and you see somebody down the street and they're walking, you take a picture of them, you know, you need permissions that way. So, like, always go to it. Like, so, like, there's even the park runs in the morning. They're amazing events.
Yeah.
Fabulous to see them like that. There's loads of different sports events around.
Yeah.
To go and take pictures of. And it doesn't have to be sport. I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah. And also, like you mentioned, the spring time, there's lambs. There will be growth now, you'd imagine, with all that rain and if the weather improves at all. So the daffodils, all those kind of photos as well. Spring into life there. And you can email them, jmcgill@radiokerry.ie, before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. And you can send up to 3 photos. You can send one, but send a story with them as well. We love to hear the stories. So we're going to take a break, and after that we're going to be going back into Dominic Walsh's archive.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across the county, serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement. Dominic Walsh is still with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot, and we're going back into his archive. And Dominic, there's a few faces I kind of recognise here, or a few backs of heads I recognise. They look like councillors to me, county councillors, but this is an unusual setting for county councillors, because they're inside in a GAA stadium, and there they are, in the stand, separated by many seats, all of them, and they have tables in front of them. This is kind of COVID times to me, I'd say.
It is, Joe, and I looking at my pictures from the past, and it's amazing how COVID keeps coming up and how people still talk about COVID so much. Like, I've seen out and about there now, and I was at different events, and it's still very topical like that, you know, and people are worried like that. So what this was, Kerry County Council AGM, Jimmy Maloney was elected our Cathaoirleach, or our, we would say mayor, but it's Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, like that, of the county. And that, and you have the councillors there, and they're separated in their seats. It's inside Nostan Stack Park on that. And it's just, it's one of these pictures when I look at them and I kind of say, my God, is that what we had to do to have a meeting or to have an event that people had to be apart like that? It was just, it's just the time that we lived in. And even though it has moved so fast and there's a few years gone past it like that, you know, it's just good to dab it back in of the importance of meeting people and getting out there and having chats and just, you know, being out and about and having that freedom that we had taken away from ourselves so drastically that time.
Yeah. It strikes me, though, like, you know, you mentioned that you seem to have taken a lot of photos during that, but you did catalogue all of COVID. But looking at this photo now, and when we were in it, it kind of became the new normal. Remember that kind of phrase, the new normal, the new normal. But, geez, it looks very abnormal now looking back on it, doesn't it?
It actually looks, you're kind of saying, like, it's frightening like that, you know, like, and like, even like young people in school were the same, like they were all distance, even within schools like that, in shops, you know, like there was a time when you had to queue and you had to go into a shop. There was only so many people and they were outside with the clickers, kicking how many people were in the shop, you know, like that nobody could go in. And if somebody came out and they minused it and somebody would go in like that. It was just, it's just mind-boggling how it happens. But you know something, like, we're a great race too, that like in time diversity like this, in times of, at hard times, everybody kind of walks together.
Yes.
You know, like there was GA clubs were setting up together, helping people, and like the guards are out there, the emergency services like that, you know. I was probably along with, like yourself, as a photojournalist, I wasn't restricted as much. I could get out and about and do my job and take pictures and things like that, and documentate what was actually life was there. And the majority of the people were inside and weren't out at all. So just to see it like that, people should look at, go onto the Radio Kerry website there and have a look at these pictures and see them. And again, the pictures I come up is to give people ideas on how they should be taking pictures and things like that.
Yeah, but like, only for you and people like you taking those photos, you'd almost think, was that real? You know, like, I'm thinking now of our little baby, like, born after COVID, and you'd hope that nothing like that ever happens again. They wouldn't believe you when I'd say you'd be telling them, you know, the way it used to be for that little period of time. Well, a long period of time at the time. Dominic, thanks a million for coming on.
Thank you to your listeners. It's the listeners that make this programme, not yourself, myself, Joe. They send in the pictures. We talk about their pictures. And I hope that we're giving them good advice on how they actually should be getting better at photographers.
Excellent. Well, Dominic, look after yourself and we'll be talking to you again next month.
Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
Now we're going to take a break for the news at 10. And in the next hour, we're going to have another episode of An Artist's Kingdom featuring Holger Lanza. We'll take a break. We'll have the news at 10 and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Now we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement and I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. If you'll remember, not too long ago, I had June O'Sullivan, who's based in Portmeath, the author of The Sky Is Not Enough, the story of Sophie Pierce, or Lady Mary Heath. If you'll remember, she was an aviator, an Olympian, and so much more. Well, the book is being launched in Newcastle West tonight, this evening at 7 p.m. in the Red Door Gallery in Newcastle West, if you want to go along to that. And June will be there and she'll be signing copies of the book, and we wish her all the best of luck with that. Now, I was reading during the week about Lent, because you know the way it's coming up, and how different it was back in the day. And an example of there was like regulations and strict rules that had to be abided by. So it would start at, you'd have Shrove Tuesday beforehand, but then you'd have Ash Wednesday and it'd start from there. And examples of regulations can be seen in late 19th century Irish publications, which published the diktats of Paul Cardinal Cullen, Archbishop of Dublin, Primate of All Ireland, as a matter of course. And they go as follows. Persons bound to fast are allowed to take only one full meal of meagre fare. And we grant permission to use flesh meat in Lent at one principal meal only on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays. The reading of lascivious poetry and romances, immodest representation in degrading theatres, improper dances, so repugnant to the purity of the Christian morals, are to be avoided, not only during Lent, but at all times. And they singled out the, I think, the polka. The polka as well. Eggs are prohibited on all Fridays at the first and last Wednesdays in Lent. On all other days, they're allowed to those who are bound to fast at the one principal meal. Fish and flesh meat cannot be used in the same meal on any day during Lent. Persons under their 21st year, broken down by old age, suffering from sickness or engaged in hard labour are exempted from fasting, such as requiring a dispensation. They can apply to any of the parish priests, provided there be just reasons in doing so. And if you didn't get the dispensation, it didn't count. And the faithful are exhorted to sanctify this holy season by prayer for 40 hours. And another one of the diktats was, during Lent, works of piety and charity are to be performed, such as providing a Catholic education for Catholic children. So they were the diktats then. It's a lot different to now, where you give up a few sweets or whatever, you give up a bit of coffee. But I thought it was interesting just to see the way Lent has evolved in Ireland over the years. Now let's turn our attention to a community initiative. So dancer and choreographer Siobhan Gunin invites participants to get involved in Country OK this spring, in a dance performance project that seeks to create an intergenerational space dedicated to the joy of dancing. And Cumas Counter Ivrahuk are supporting the project in South West Kerry. And I'm delighted to say Siobhan joins us on the line now. Siobhan, you're very welcome. How are you?
I'm very good, Joe. Thank you for having me on.
So tell us, what is Country OK all about?
So Country OK is really all about the love of music and dancing, and the joy of dancing to good music. Now, good music for me is country music. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to invite people to come on board and let loose a bit, learn a few moves, and dance to good music. We have a live band as part of the project, and it's just, there's nothing like dancing to the live music.
Is it American country or Irish country?
It's American country, so we have a bit of Hank Williams, Willie Nelson, Lucinda Williams. There's that kind of a... there's actually one song from nearly every decade, I think, from the 1920s to now.
Ooh, wow. You know, when we think of dancing to country music, you think of line dancing. Is it different to that?
There's a bit of line dancing. I'm a contemporary dancer myself, but I suppose I'm always looking to see what the people who are coming to me would like to do. And I love line dancing myself. I take classes in it. And, you know, some people really need a bit of structure, and then some people like to kind of let loose and be more free with their movement. So I have a mix going on, I suppose, with some line dancing and contemporary and creative movement as well.
And would the dance moves, would people know them, or would they be kind of more invented, or are they kind of following a particular style of dance?
The line dancing would have kind of recognisable steps, like a grapevine, that would be a kind of a very well-known step. Mm. And then we also listen to the music quite a lot. There's a live drummer in every workshop, and we listen to him and create some movement ourselves then to the live. And then in addition to that, I also bring in a few professional dancers. So they'd all be contemporary dancers, but also one of them is a break dancer. And he also dances Gabka, the traditional Palestinian dance. Mm. So we have a whole mix of things going on. The event itself, that'll happen at the end of March, on the 25th of March, is actually a kind of a dual event. So it starts with a show where the people dancing who've been with me for the workshops, and the professional dancers and the band. And then there's a little break, and then there's actually a dance party with the live bands continuing, and the audience can join in. So at the moment, I'm trying to approach it with the sense of how can I get, the question I pose, how can I get as many people dancing as possible? Maybe those who just want to sit back and watch, there's a space for them. There's a space for those who want to be inspired by the dancing they see to join in after in the dance party. The people who are down to perform, they join me in the run-up for the workshops. So there's a whole mix.
Yeah, and I see on your publicity for it, you were saying for dance enthusiasts age 14 plus. Is the plus all the way, or what is the plus?
The plus is all the way. You know, I had someone do the project a few years ago, and she was close to all the way, as far as you can go. And she said, you know what, I've been dancing since nearly the day I was born, and I stayed dancing because it suits every age. There's a dance for every age, whether it's just kind of in the flow from a seated position or whatever, whatever you can do, we'll accommodate. And the most important thing for me is that you have the growth for it.
And it seems to me like it can be a family thing. You mentioned intergenerational as well. So like different age groups from the family could come along to this, and it could be something they could do together, almost like a bonding experience.
Absolutely. Amongst the participants when I did it last year were my own mother and sister. And then for the kind of final event, we had all ages come, and we actually, someone come and he said, there's very few things he can bring his parents to that he enjoys and his parents ought to enjoy, but we ticked the box for both of them with this event, which is lovely to hear.
Yeah, and it's an inclusive event as well.
That's it, yeah. So all the spaces that we use are wheelchair accessible, and very open to having a conversation with anyone who has specific needs that might need some information from me in order to attend. We also have a small budget. The project is free, but we have a small budget. For example, if someone needed specific transport support, we can offer that and cover the cost.
This is not your first time doing this, Siobhan.
It's not, no. We did it in 2024 in Cork City, and this is part of a tour that'll go to Easrock, Skibbereen, Tipperary and Limerick. So we're on the road. We'll be doing Easrock and Skibbereen in the spring, and then we'll do Tipperary and Limerick in the autumn.
Wow, it's a wonderful initiative. So how many workshops will there be in all in South Kerry?
So there's 6 workshops in total. I suppose I'm always keen to make sure that everyone is comfortable with the performing and that it's an enjoyable experience as opposed to something scary. The workshops start next week. So we'll have a daytime workshop in Ballinskellig at 2:30 for an hour in the hall there. And then we'll go to Cara Daniel in the evening to the hall from 7 to 8:30. And they'll run every week on Tuesdays, except Patrick's Day, and until the 25th of March, when the show takes place in Undrummet.
Okay, so it'll be Tuesdays, and you'll be taking, you'll have it in Ballinskellig in the afternoon, in the evening in Cara Daniel, so they can pick and choose which one they go to. They probably, if you're going to Bally, you'd be going to there for the 6 weeks.
That's it, yeah. Just so you stick with the same gang, and you kind of...
Yes.
You build quite a bond, I suppose, when you're doing things like this together. It can be a nice way to maybe meet people who you wouldn't normally see in your day-to-day or meet someone new. So, yeah, sticking to the same one is good, all right.
And no doubt there'll be a couple of fuckle thrown in as well. Good Gaeltacht areas there you'll be visiting.
Ishine, yeah. Both the English and the Irish in.
Yes. And if people want more information, they want to get involved, where do they go, Siobhan?
So the best thing to do is to give me a call or a text, and my number is 086-1074-770, and just to let me know if they think they'd like more information or like to drop by.
Excellent. So that's 086-1074-770. And we'll be giving that number out again. And the main night then, the main event will be on Wednesday, the 25th of March from 7 to 9pm in the wonderful facility of Halla on Drummond. That will be a fantastic night, then, I'd imagine. The anticipation building up over the few weeks. And it's great to have a culmination of all that then.
It is. I think it's important to celebrate, you know. And I suppose the feeling of the event kind of echoes other celebrations like the wedding, the dance after a wedding, or like a party. We're going to have the full band there in Undrummet, so the 4-piece band, beautiful singers, and we'll have a lighting designer. So the hall was kind of decked out And we also will have a costume designer coming in. There's a fantastic costume designer who sources everything from vintage and second-hand shops. So we're trying to do our bits of the environment with that. And it could be Western wear, and the audience are invited to dress up as much as they'd like. And then we'll provide certain alcohol for the event to make it, as, I suppose, as welcoming as possible to all ages. But we'll provide some my wadi and snacks to keep everyone going.
Excellent. So if you want to get in touch again, you can call Siobhan on 086-1074-770. Siobhan, Gnarion Tarlat and Gormila Mahagut, and thanks for coming on, and we wish you all the best luck with it.
Gormila Mahagut, Joe.
We'll take a break and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme on this Saturday morning. I'm Joe McGill and this, of course, is the Saturday Supplement. Now it's time to go live to the past. This is a series where I report live from a particular time in history, and I bring that history to life through that series. It's a series I produced with Connie Broderick, and now we're going to go just outside Ballylongford to the fall of the Carrigafoyle Castle, and it is 1580. So sit back, relax and enjoy this.
Joe McGill reports live from the past.
As you join me here at Carrigafoyle Castle, I can confirm that earlier today, following a two-day siege, the castle was breached and taken under the command of Sir William Pelham as part of the Crown campaign against the forces of Gerald Fitzgerald, the 15th Earl of Desmond. Situated at the mouth of the River Shannon, Carrigafoyle Castle is often referred to as the guardian of the Shannon, because of its strategic location, overlooking the shipping lanes that supplied the city of Limerick. Standing five stories with vaults over the second and fourth stories, the castle rises to 26.4 metres and gives an impression of great strength. Built by Conor Leo O'Connor at the end of the 15th century, it was the main stronghold of the O'Connor Kerry family, who for 400 years were the key family in North Kerry. With me now to tell us more about the two-day bombardment that led to the sacking of the castle is Brian, a member of Pelham's army. Brian, can you tell our listeners why Carrigafoyle Castle was targeted?
Sir William wanted Carrigafoyle taken down, as it is one of the most important parts of the Geraldine earldom, from a strategic point of view. We knew if Carrigafoyle could be taken, and quickly, it would be a blow to Geraldine morale.
This is all part of the Crown's campaign against the Second Desmond Rebellion.
Yes. The siege here at Carrigafoyle Castle is part of the Crown's campaign against the forces of Gerald Fitzgerald, the 15th Earl of Desmond. Now, as you are aware, the Second Desmond Rebellion was sparked when James Fitzmaurice Fitzgerald launched an invasion of Munster last year. During his exile in Europe, he declared himself as a soldier of the Counter-Reformation, arguing that since the Pope's excommunication of Elizabeth I, Irish Catholics did not owe loyalty to a heretic monarch.
The Pope was in support of this rebellion?
Would appear so. It is believed that he supplied Fitzmaurice with troops and money, providing him with the platform to land in Dingle last year. Now, we believe that in the months that followed, he was joined by other Gaelic clans and old English families. As a result, Munster was soon engulfed in rebellion.
And we know that Fitzmaurice was killed last year.
Yes, this is true. He died. However, he had lit the match that started this unrest we see today.
Carrigafoyle is one of the strongest defensive structures in Ireland. Can you tell how you breached these walls?
Yesterday, Sir William ordered us to cross to the sea wall. However, we were pinned down by gunfire. So we held back and waited for reinforcements to arrive. This morning at first light, we fired several cannon shots, causing the castle walls to crack under the impact. Eventually, the west wall collapsed, taking a number of casualties with it.
And was there any survivors?
It is the Crown's position to put an end to this rebellion and wipe out any resistance, young or old. Therefore, the remaining occupants found within the walls were subsequently put to death.
Well, there you have it. The two-day siege that saw the sacking of Carrigafoyle Castle is seen as a striking blow to Gerald Fitzgerald, the 15th Earl of Desmond, and his rebellion against the Crown. What these ramifications are, only time will tell. This is Joe McGill reporting live from the past, from Ballylongford, March 27th, 1580.
This documentary was produced by Joe McGill and Connie Broderick and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee.
Yeah, that's an episode of Live from the Past where we went back to 1580 to the fall of Carrigafoyle Castle. Now, after the break, we're going to be going to another episode of An Artist's Kingdom. This is the seventh episode in the series, and we're going to be going to Port Magee to meet sculptor Holger Lanza. So stay tuned for that. That's up after the break. A reminder as well for our theme for In Focus. A few of you have been getting on to us. It is Spring into Life. That's the theme. And you can email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. No more than three photos. And you can send one photo and send the story with them. We love to hear the story. So we'll take a break, and after this we'll have An Artist's Kingdom.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer ready meals available.
FarmandHomeStore.ie offer a fantastic range of products for every season. Explore our smokeless fuel and convenience range, including our premium beach timber offering. We also provide minerals, bedding lime and mats, and winter dosing solutions. Check out our extensive range of household goods, including safety lighting, high-vis clothing and quality footwear. Sign up online and avail of a 10% discount on a range of goods by subscribing to our newsletter and making your initial purchase. Discover exceptional value on our extensive farming range, both online and in store. FarmandHomeStore.ie. Easy shopping, fast delivery.
That's the Clear Mobile Parrot. He knows a good thing when he hears it, because it's only
$12.99.
Yes, only $12.99 for unlimited 5G data and calls. Yes, yes, there are texts, and that's why he's our top salesperson, a parrot.
$12.99.
Clear Mobile. Keep it clear. Powered by Vodafone.
$12.99.
Activation fee €12.99. 23 gigabytes UK and EU roaming data. For terms, see clearmobile.ie.
McGilligan's Easy Living Furniture has unbeatable offers for a limited time only. Save up to 50% across their stylish range of suites, dining room and bedroom furniture. Like a Waldorf sofa from $549, Palais dining table only $399, or a Macy bed frame for $279. Sale must end soon at McGilligan's Castle Island and Killarney.
Insurance does matter, so make sure to tune in to Talk About This Monday for Insurance Matters, in association with McCarthy Insurance Group. Paul Kavanagh will join Deirdre Walsh to help answer some of your questions and discuss different aspects of insurance. That's Insurance Matters on Talk About This Monday, in association with MIG.ie, keeping you covered with home, motor and business insurance.
Hi, my name is Radita and I live in the heart of Chile. I'm proud to be Bengali and proud to be Irish. My family are from the riversides of Bangladesh, a land of green landscapes, mangroves and flowing rivers. Bangladesh is my home language, sweet, musical and full of stories. Bangladeshi culture is rich. Our food makes your mouth water and your eyes water at the same time. And our clothing tells stories in every hand-woven bead and painted stroke. I am fluent in Irish. It didn't come easily at first. It felt like a chore. But over time, being around people who love Irish, I realized I belonged to two cultures, not just one. I remember when I was in primary and the looks on people's faces when a brown-skinned hijabi had a Kerry accent and spoke Irish to them. It filled me with pride to know I could speak the language of my country and help keep it alive, even as just one voice. I felt in between, caught between worlds, but Kerry, with its people and its Gaeltacht, has taught me to hold both cultures proudly. Every time I speak Irish or Bangla, I feel rooted and free at the same time. A Bangla phrase I love is Abar Dekahobe. It means we will meet again soon, a gentle reminder that no chapter is ever truly closed. In Irish, Ní Laon Tinn Mar the Hinton Féin, there's no home like your own. These words remind me that I can always carry both homes with me. I hope Ireland remains a place where all cultures thrive, where languages meet and hearts open, because having two worlds to belong to is the greatest gift I could ever ask for.
Many Voices, One Kingdom is brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by Cumasúna Man with the television licence fee.
You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now it's time for the seventh episode of an eight-part series of An Artist's Kingdom. This time we're going to go to Port Magee to meet sculptor Holger Lonza.
This documentary is a Kishna Communications production, funded by Cumasúna Man with the television licence fee.
This is Artist's Kingdom, an eight-part radio series that takes listeners on an immersive journey into the diverse and vibrant world of artists in County Kerry. Through the lens of creativity, we will explore the unique cultural landscape that has inspired generations of artists, shaping their work and contributing to the rich artistic tapestry of the region. The series will gather some of the finest artists in the county, where they share a dedication to their art. We will explore some of the most impressive and interesting Kerry-based artists today, who are truly doing their county proud. Holger Lonza is a full-time professional sculptor and maker, working in metals. Since moving to Ireland from Germany in 1995, he has widely exhibited in the UK, Ireland, Germany, France, Italy and Spain, and has worked on over 20 projects in the public domain.
My name is Holger Lonza, and my speciality is sculpture and a bit of boat building. I always liked drawing in school, but it wasn't really something I considered as a career at that stage. Like all kids, I wanted to be a pilot.
Initially, Holger pursued a career in architecture.
I have two uncles who are into architecture. So they basically introduced me to drawing and come interest in architecture, and that's the first part of my career which I pursued, really.
Holger had doubts about a career in architecture.
I did go to the college after I did an apprenticeship as a furniture maker, and I studied interior architecture first for about 4 years, and then I changed to a combined course of art and design. And I wanted to take a year out, and I went to Belfast subsequently. Studied there for a year and then decided to stay. And then I started specializing in printmaking and sculpture. I had doubts at the time, but I was also working with a lecturer who was a sculptor. And he encouraged me to pursue the sculpture route. And at the same time, I wanted to improve my English because I was very bad at it. And it was an ideal combination then to go to Belfast at the time, which was in 1995, so it was still at the end of the Troubles, before the Good Friday Agreement. Interesting time, and very different for a country boy to go to a big city.
Holger grew up in rural Germany.
I grew up in a place called Schmallenberg, which is in the middle of Germany, bang on in the middle. It's a mountain area, very rural, huge forested parts of it. So that's where I grew up. It's a small town of about 4,000 people, long way away from any city. So it was a very rural upbringing. When I got to Belfast in 95, I studied first printmaking, and then I slowly slipped into sculpture with Bob Sloan, who taught me up there. I just loved the city. I loved the cultural life at the time. It was very edgy. It was very interesting. It was not a place where you would find a lot of people from abroad, which made it also quite interesting for me. So I had to learn English. There was no way to talk German. So it was an ideal place for me, but I also really loved Belfast as a city at the time.
So what drew Holger to sculpting?
I love working with my hands. I love making things. I probably always loved fiddling with things, mechanical. And with sculpture, I like that you have both parts. You have the creative aspect of it, the designing, the kind of artistic element. I love that you can that you also have to make it. You have the physical aspect of working with materials, with tools, with processes. You have various processes like metalworking, you have stoneworking, you have woodworking. So it is kind of very versatile, but it's also very varied, so you never get bored, really.
One of Holger's first major works was not for the faint-hearted, and was quite a challenging project.
The first major work was a piece in Port Rush on the East Strand. I had just learned a little jewellery techniques through a friend of mine who taught me repoussé work, which is hammering bronze sheet into kind of small pieces. You form it basically cold with a hammer. And when this project came up, I thought I could do it maybe a little bit bigger. And it was a bit of a mad idea at the time because the piece is about 6 meters high. And usually you work on these things kind of a hand size. So it was a huge challenge. And we only had 7 weeks. So we had a team of about 8 people bashing and battering these huge sheets of bronze into shape. And it worked. And we delivered it even a week before deadline, which was pretty mad, but it was interesting.
So how did Holger end up in Port Magee, County Kerry?
Coming to Kerry was a long way round, really. From Belfast, I lived then for a while in Cornwall, on Rathlin Island, on Loch Ney, in County Cavan, and then in West Cork. And from West Cork, about 8 years ago, we moved here to Kerry because we were looking for a place. Couldn't afford anything in West Cork, and something here came up, and we ended up in this beautiful old house just by accident, really. We had never planned to move here, but it turned out just an ideal spot for us.
Holger moved to Port Magee with his partner, who is an accomplished artist in her own right.
It's Karen Hendy, my partner. We've been together for about 13 years. We met through art in the Tyrone Guthrie Centre at the time. And we lived in West Cork together and then moved here to Kerry.
So what's it like living with a fellow artist?
It's great in a way that you can discuss things. You always get an opinion, an honest opinion. If something turns out really bad, your partner will tell you.
Pursuing a career in the arts world can be challenging to begin with. So was this the case with Holger?
It was and it wasn't. For a while, I was lecturing in Belfast, and then I decided that it wasn't for me, really. It took a lot of energy. The whole academic scene was changing rapidly at the time. It became more and more conceptual. And I decided I really have to make a decision if I want to pursue this academic career or if I want to go independent as a freelance artist. And it was easy enough. I was lucky in a way that I was into public art, public sculpture. I got public commissions, and Ireland is very good for that. I mean, both the North and the Republic of Ireland have been really good to me in terms of public commissions and work. And there was never a shortage. There were times where it got fairly tight financially, but then something else came up. So in that way, it was actually easy enough.
So what have been the highlights of Holger's career so far?
Yeah, there were a few. There were certainly the one in Port Rush at the beginning, which was a great challenge. But then there were also projects which I really loved, like a piece I did for Waterville, which coincided actually with the time we were moving here, totally independently, which was about Amagin. And thanks to Fina and Paddy Bush, who really introduced me at the time to the heritage and the mythology of the area as part of the research, it was a great introduction to coming here and to living here. There were other projects I got through the sculpture. I got into working with a group called Ur-Ish. We do experimental archaeology, and that has been a kind of very strong part of my work, because I use a lot of prehistoric authentic methods in the work to produce the work, and that came really through this interest in experimental archaeology. And because Ireland is so full of archaeology, it has been a great influence into my work. So that's probably the main projects. I mean, there's several others. the advantage of working in public sculpture is that you're going to places, you learn a lot about a place, you learn a lot about the community in different places, not just a place where you actually work physically all the time. So basically all the projects have been a great introduction to different people, different communities all over Ireland.
Holger was involved in a very innovative project with Ballinskellig National School, Skolvíil Naofa, making a traditional Naofog boat from scratch.
It was a fantastic project. The kids were great crack, and the school was so supportive, and just taking the step into doing something which you wouldn't do in a school usually. They were really brilliant in that way. The kids were great because they could just do something hands-on for a few weeks, something they would probably never do, making a Naofog, making a curragh. And it ties them back into their local heritage, into their family histories, into the mythology of the area, the place names and everything.
So where did the love of Naofog building come from?
That goes back about 25 years now. It happened by accident again. I was in Ireland for about 5 years. And a friend of mine, Christo McCorrick, from the folklore department, asked me to go around Ireland with him to record boat makers, which we did. And then when I came back, I was living in Newton Arts at the time, I decided I could just give it a go, just try to build one. And so I built my first Donegal curragh in Newton Arts. And then local community groups got interested in me going out in the curragh, and I started them working with community groups and trying to reintroduce the tradition of curragh building into different communities.
The Armagan piece in Waterville is truly an impressive installation and is a real focal point in the village.
The piece is called Arach Dana. It was named by Paddy Bush. It's kind of the skillful vessel, the bold vessel, describing basically something which is at the spirit of this community, of this area, going back into mythology, back into deep history. The piece sits on the beach off Waterville. It is essentially, how would you describe it? It is a semi-abstract piece. If you look from the front, it looks like a boat which comes out of the ground, out of kind of a sandy beach, almost like it evolves from history, from deep heritage. And the boat changes. The front of the boat, the planking, they become waves, the nine waves which are described in the Armagan poem. The waves turn then into the stem of the boat, which becomes the head of a gannet. And the whole piece becomes a sundial. So it is 6.5 meters high. It's the largest sundial in Ireland. And the whole idea behind it was not just to represent a figure which is in mythology, Armagan, where you don't know when he actually lived, what clothing he had worn, what type of face he would have had. So the idea was really to do something which is more in the concept of somebody arriving on these shores. And the concept was navigation in prehistoric times. So it's the navigation with solar, with celestial phenomena, the birds, the waves when you come to land. So that's basically fed into it. And in the background of the actual boat, there is a wall, and the wall has the original poem of the Song of Armagan in the wall in the medieval Irish.
This piece will last for quite a long time. So how does that make Holger feel?
It will be there for a while, I would say a few thousand years. It is a funny thing. I suppose sculpture is strange in a way that you never get direct feedback like a musician or a writer would get. You don't get any applause. It will be critical. People will be really critical about it for a long time. But then, you know, it will be there for a long, long time afterwards. And basically you convey something of your own time. It's our interpretation of the whole thing of Armagan, of the whole knowledge, the whole mythology, and how it ties into our time. And that's basically, as a sculptor, you leave as a legacy something, how you view your own time. You live in your time, you can't do anything else. You can't read the future. You bring in a little bit of your past, but you do it on the day or in the time you're living. So, yeah, it is a funny feeling that it will be there long after you and long after your kids are dead and your grandkids are probably dead. But that's a way, yeah. I suppose, you have to deal with it, yeah.
That's the first part of the episode with Holger Lanza of An Artist's Kingdom. We'll take a break and we'll return to the second part of that episode after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
Now let's return to the second part of the episode with Holger Lanza of An Artist's Kingdom. Many of Holger's techniques are rooted in our ancient past.
Well, I would have started off with bronze casting, and I would have used techniques which go back to the Bronze Age in Ireland, kind of about 3,500 years. And essentially, these processes haven't changed. So if somebody from the Bronze Age would come into my workshop now, within half an hour, he would know exactly what I'm doing and he would be able to help and join in. I did a lot of the bronze casting, and these methods from the Bronze Age are basically still feeding into smaller work I do nowadays. But I also changed for my public work to a method called repoussé work, mainly for environmental reasons, because it is far less wasteful and less energy consuming. So that method, repoussé, is essentially where you start off with a thin sheet of bronze, you heat it up to soften it, let it cool down, and then you hammer it. You basically beat it until you have the shape, and you reheat it again occasionally, and then you weld it together. That's how the piece in Waterville, for example, was made, and the piece in Portrush. So it's basically a process of cold forming. You don't need the heat which you would need for actual bronze casting, and you have far less process. You don't have to make the original pattern, then you have to make a silicon mold, and then you have to make a wax pattern, and then you have to have a casting mold, and then you actually cast the piece. So there's six or seven processes involved until you have the final sculpture. While with the repoussé, it's only two or three processes, the actual forming and welding together.
Holger does a lot of the work on his own. However, he enjoys the group projects he is involved in.
Because it is a fairly solitary occupation. You work in your workshop. You have to do most things yourself. You get help, obviously, you have assistance if it's a bigger piece, like even the piece in Portrush, there were six, seven people involved. I had somebody in West Cork working with me on a regular basis when I had two or three projects on at the same time. Karen has always been involved in the projects. She kind of took part in the actual making of things, in the kind of community aspect. And projects like the Uaish projects with the experimental archaeology, it's great because you have that social element which you don't get in your own studio practice.
Holger always involves himself in interesting projects, and his latest one is no different.
I just started a project in Derry for the inner walled city of Derry City. It is a very unusual project in that it is actually a traffic management project. It's 20 bollards, but the bollards are not just the ordinary standard things which you see in on the road, kind of the plasticky things. These will be made of Valencia slate and shaped bronze, and each of them will contain a poem by writers from the region of Ulster and Derry itself, who will contribute a poem each, and that will be engraved and gilded on the actual slate element. And people like, or writers like Seamus Heaney will be involved, John Ewart, a lot of the famous writers from the north, but also contemporary writers.
The landscape and the environment Holger operates in within Kerry influences his work immensely.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the presence of the sea, of the Atlantic, it comes into each of my pieces. you always have that. That I always use the kind of this the texture of the sea, the wave patterns, the whole physical process of being out, doing the research out on the sea with the korak, go out there, draw, take photographs, be there, kind of absorb it, and then feed it back into a kind of a physical object. That's for me very essential in the whole process. But yes, also working with the materials. The bronze, I mean, we're going back 3,000-4,000 years. The bronze, this is the oldest copper mining area in Northern Europe. So copper and bronze is actually from this area. It's kind of ingrained in the whole mythology, into the archaeology of this region. And then the slate is a more modern element, which has been only mined or quarried in Valencia for the last kind of 180 years, roughly. But the combination of these two, working with the two materials independently and together, I think it connects you to the landscape, definitely.
And finally, what does Holger love about what he does?
This is a big question. As I mentioned earlier, I love working with my hands, and I think the ability nowadays to do something which is really physical and working with materials and come out with an object which you can handle, which you can touch, which is tactile, I think that's what I love most, because there's so much work now, even for me, involved on designing on an iPad, on a computer. And you're always distant. It's always distant from the actual object which will be there at the end. And modern processes like 3D printing or giving something away to be CNC manufactured, that disconnects you completely from the actual object. So the making and kind of the physical forming of an object, I think that's what I still really, really like about the being a sculptor.
That was Holger Lanza there, and I want to thank Holger for taking the time to participate so wonderfully to his episode of An Artist's Kingdom. And next week, we'll have the final episode of An Artist's Kingdom, the 8th episode in the series. We'll be going to the Grills Gallery to meet Robert and Lucy Carter. That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Pat Kelly is on the way, and I'll be back next Saturday, Valentine's Day, from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.